When Paul concluded his third missionary journey, and Luke joined him there in Acts 20, verse 5 and 6, that was Acts 5, 20 and 6, Luke stayed with him, it seems, the rest of his life. When Paul got arrested there in Jerusalem, what happened to those guys that were traveling with him? Well, Luke, we read about him again traveling with Paul in Acts 27, so we know he hung around. Where did he hang around? Well, he went back and forth between seeing Paul in Caesarea, where he's being held prisoner, and in Jerusalem, where he got to interview several people. Turn to Luke 1 again, because this sets the foundation for what he writes, both in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts. And in Luke 1, 1 through 4, it's a one sentence. In verse 2, he talks about those which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, seemed good to me, verse 3, also having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So the point of reading that was to point out that he interviewed eyewitnesses and ministers of the word who told him these stories, that he wrote down these facts. Some of the facts he knew from firsthand experience in the book of Acts there. When we first read of him in Acts 16 and also again then in Acts 20 and beyond. But he got to interview Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she told him some things. We've talked about this and some things that she pondered in her heart. Go to Luke 5. We know that Paul got to interview Luke. Luke got to interview Peter. Got to slow down. My mouth's running faster than my mind. Luke wrote down what Peter told him. And one of the things that was told Luke by Peter was that story that we read last week in Luke 5, 1 through 11, and where they were fishing, and Jesus says, you need to let down your nets, and they kind of argued with him. We'd been doing this a long time, and we didn't catch anything all night. And nevertheless, they let down one net, and they caught such a multitude of fish in that one net that it nearly sank both of their ships. And in Luke 5:8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Who told Luke this? It had to be Peter. This is when he confessed that he was a sinful man and he believed in Jesus. We talked a little bit last couple times about Jesus being the master instructor, the master teacher. He was called rabbi, which means master. And so this kind of brings us up to speed a little bit. And the last part of verse 10 of Luke 5, we read this statement. And Jesus said unto Simon, which is Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now that's quite a statement to this guy that couldn't catch fish. He says, now you're going to go catch men. Well, that didn't happen until after the day of Pentecost, after Jesus' death and resurrection, and when the Holy Spirit was sent in Acts 2. And who preached that sermon? We read this last week. It was Peter. When we read about 5,000 got saved at that point? And then we were reading some other things. And let me just go through this real quick. Go to the book of Acts. In the third chapter of Acts, you have that story where the lame man was healed. It was Peter and John that prayed for him. And then Peter preaches another impromptu sermon there in verses 12 through 26. And there were, in Acts 4, there were about 5,000 who believed. Thou shalt catch men, Peter. And he was catching them by the thousands. And when we left off last time, we had read the following verses in Acts 5 and 12 through 16. And I'm reading all this, and we're going through all this to point out that Peter told Luke about these events and these sermons that he preached. It's the only way he could record this thing. He was one of the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word that Luke interviewed. So in Acts 5, if you're there, verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Drop down to verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Now that's just the grace of a God and our Lord Jesus Christ that did all this. Next, in Acts 5:17 through 28, Peter with the other apostles, they were arrested by that Jewish Sanhedrin there in Jerusalem. And by night, the angel of the Lord set them free. And the angel of the Lord told the apostles the instructions that are found in Acts 5:20. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, which they did. The Sanhedrin wasn't pleased with this, obviously. And they said in Acts 5:28, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, who do you suppose told Luke what happened next? It was eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, specifically Peter. He had to be the guy who told Luke what is recorded in verses 29 through 32. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and how do I know that was Peter? Because not everybody was called into the Sanhedrin. That was a select group. Somebody had to be there. It had to be Peter. He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey them. Now this was not only a short sermon, but it was a testimony also. And I pointed out last time that Luke seemed to have liked to record sermons, and he recorded many of them. And I'm still in the process of sorting that out a little bit as to how many sermons he actually wrote down in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. Move forward to Acts, the 10th chapter. We find another sermon. This time it was Peter going to the house of Cornelius. It had to be Peter who told Luke this story, where Peter, for the first time, preached a sermon unto the Gentiles. So back where we read it early this morning, stay in Acts 10. But when Jesus told Peter in Luke 5:10, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." He was telling Peter this. Jesus didn't say, "Thou shalt catch only Jewish men," did he? Did you catch men? There was no, and Peter didn't probably understand it at that time. But so important was this event of preaching to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius in Acts 10 that this was told twice in Scripture, once in Acts 10 and the second time in Acts 11, 1 through 18. If you look at Acts 10, 34 through 44, we find this short sermon that Peter preached at the house of Cornelius. Acts 10, 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" This was news to Peter in the preceding days and at this moment. Verse 35, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem." It was Peter who was saying this. He was one of the witnesses. He was one of the witnesses that told Luke what he saw. "Whom they slew and hanged on a tree." Verse 40. "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead." We'll look at some verses in John 21 here in a little bit, but that's one of the places he's referencing. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people," meaning the Jews, "and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And I'll read a verse or two more, because Peter was interrupted here in his sermon. It says in verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." And how did they know that? Verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And so you can read the rest of the story. Now, I mentioned this last week and maybe this morning, that Luke seemed to document as many sermons as he could, and he documented them word for word if he could. And we just went over in the last, between last week and today, six sermons of Peter that Luke recorded. And when we begin this discussion, we were noting that Jesus was the master teacher, the master authority, And as the master teacher, go back to Luke 5:10, Jesus told Peter in Luke 5:10, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And it was after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was sent from heaven, when Peter was then equipped to catch men, which thought we just reviewed. And Luke recorded more than these six sermons of Peter, and we'll look at some of these other sermons that Luke recorded, Lord willing, as we move forward. But I want to go back to Luke 5:10. It's an impressive statement that Jesus, the master teacher, the master authority, spoke unto Simon Peter. Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. These words must have echoed in his mind the rest of his life. And they were so important. And we just reviewed how that came to pass, that after the day of Pentecost, Peter was empowered from the master authority to catch men, and he did so by the thousands, as we pointed out. And as we read earlier, also untold other thousands were healed, every one, as we read in Acts 15:16. Now, when we've repeated this several times now, but this is a unique story that Luke told in Acts 5:1-11, and we noted that it had to be Peter who told Luke this account. And we also went over the fact that in this portion was Peter's confession that he was a sinful man and that he acknowledged Jesus to be the Lord at that point in time meant that he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And we read in Luke 5:11 that Peter and James and his brother John, they forsook all and followed Jesus. In return, they caught multitudes of men for the Lord. Now, I'll give you a little bit of an aside, because these thoughts hit me and I'd write them down. Let's go to the scriptures for a moment and look at how many fish with fins Peter and his partner were able to catch on their own from scriptural records. Keep in mind that they were professional fishermen. They made their living catching fish, all this before forsaking all and following Jesus. Well, we read in our story in Luke 5, verse 5, where Simon, this Peter, answering and said unto Jesus, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Have you ever worked all day and not got paid for anything? That's kind of the way it was here. Now go to John 21. I promised you we'd get to this. And this was after Jesus' death and resurrection, but it was still before the day of Pentecost. John 21, we'll start in verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other of his disciples. So do the math. There's seven of them, seven of the disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, And that night, they caught nothing. These are professional fishermen. The fact is, we never read anywhere in Scripture that these professional fishermen led by Peter ever caught anything on their own without the aid and the guide of the Master. The only times we ever read of Peter and the boys catching anything was after following the Master authority's instructions. Back in Luke 5:6, we read, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." In John 21:6, we read this. And Jesus, being on the shore, he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. One important lesson that's highlighted here in John 21 is also a lesson that they heard a few days earlier. Go back to John 15th chapter. And this was after the Last Supper when Jesus was on his way to the garden. John 15. Excuse me for a second. In John 15, 1 through 14, Jesus gives the lesson on the vine and the branches. And Jesus says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Note this next statement. This is the emphasis of this portion. "For without me, ye can do nothing." You might be professional fishermen, guys, but you never caught anything without me, whether you ever acknowledge it or not. By following Jesus' instructions, they caught multitudes. And this lesson, which is now learned in John 21, equipped them to catch the multitudes of men for the Lord that we read about earlier today in Acts. And back in Luke 5:11, we read that they forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, let's read the last words that Jesus spoke to Peter in John 21. Give you a second to get back there. John 21, start in the middle of verse 19. This was after he gave him that discussion on, "Do you love me? You know, feed my sheep." You can read all that story. And John 21, 19, "And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him," Peter, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on the breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" In other words, what shall John do? And Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Notice this. "Follow thou me." Thank God that Peter did from that point forward. Now, go back to Luke 5:10, where we got started with all this. And this is where Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Just for your information, the phrase "from henceforth" is found 14 times in Scripture. 14 is the number that has to do with deliverance or salvation. So we find that on the day that Peter was saved, the Lord told him of his path forward. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. And then in this statement that Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men, I want to focus for a few minutes on the words, fear not. That's very important. You might want to underline it. The phrase, fear not, is found 62 times in Scripture. 8 of those 62 times are in Luke. Now, Luke himself didn't realize that he wrote fear not 8 times in his gospel, but the Holy Ghost guided him to write this phrase, fear not, 8 times. And among the other meanings of the number 8, the number 8 also is a number that points to the bride of Christ. So, do you suppose fear not is a quality found in the bride of Christ? And simply answered, fear not is a quality found in all full overcomers. The phrase fear not is associated with many of the Old Testament icons of faith. And I'll give you a short list. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Ruth, Samuel, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, and Zechariah all heard this phrase, fear not. The words fear not are totally interchangeable with the phrase, be not afraid. Most often the words fear not and be not afraid, they are heavenly words of encouragement spoken to those who would become overcomers. The words fear not and be not afraid are the backbone of faith. The words fear not and be not afraid urge the hearer to move forward by faith. We've heard by faith millions of times. But not only to move forward by faith, but to be a full overcomer. Go to Genesis 15:1. This is the first place we find the phrase, fear not. And this was spoken to Abraham before he was called Abraham. And he was the first one to hear the words, fear not. And it was the Lord who spoke these words to Abram, as he was called back there, in Genesis 15:1. And it says there, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. If you'll read Romans 4:12, you'll find that Abraham is noted to be the father of all those who walk in steps of faith. And Romans 4:12 says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Abraham grasped the concept of fear not by faith, and he went on to be highlighted more than any other individual in Hebrews 11, where we find the record of the Old Testament worthies of faith. Second on that list of most highlighted individuals in Hebrews 11 is Moses. And it says in Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, we're going to look at a few more fear not statements in Scripture, but as if to underline the importance of this, I always print my notes out on Sunday morning after I look them over 100 times. And I went to print my notes out this morning, and I says, Lord, thank you for this lesson today. And hit print, nothing happened. So I hit print again, nothing happened. So I hit print a third time because that's Ty. Might not have hit it right the first two times, nothing happened. So I checked the wiring. It was plugged in right. So I checked the printer. It says it was out of paper. Well, it wasn't out of paper. Sue hollers from upstairs, Ty, let's have breakfast. They'll be right there. So I turned the printer off. I turned it back on. I went upstairs and I said, Sue, I can't get my printer to work. What are you going to do? I says, I don't know. Just pray about it. Yeah. We prayed for breakfast and we prayed for the printer. We ate breakfast. I says, I got to get downstairs and figure out what's going on. I got back downstairs. There's my notes laying on the printer. I don't know how that happened. I don't. Don't laugh, Bill, because you've been there too. Thank the Lord. But I know as I'm walking down the stairs, I said, Lord, help me to fear not about this whole thing. You got it under control. And I walked around the corner, and there they were. So, a few more of these fear not statements we'll read, starting in Deuteronomy, go back there, that will refresh our memory on what an important, heavenly encouragement of faith these words are, to fear not. In Deuteronomy, recall that that's a record of Moses' last speech that he gave unto Israel. And with that in mind, we'll start in Deuteronomy 1 and read a few places in Deuteronomy where we find this phrase, fear not. Deuteronomy 1:21. Moses is reminding the children of Israel, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Deuteronomy 20, verse 3. We'll read a couple of verses here. And these are familiar portions of Scripture to most of us, I think. Deuteronomy 20, verse 3. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. And do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. What were we told in Hebrews 13? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, we'll go back and look at that maybe next week, because we're going to run out of time. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. It's probably already highlighted in your Bibles. We've quoted from this many times in many lessons, and many sermons have been preached from this portion of Scripture. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:6, I think it is. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him at the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. We'll talk about some more of this next time, Lord willing. Hope you got something out of it here today.